Donald Trump is hitting a nerve in this country. The words of Republican candidate for president John Kasich, governor from Ohio. Indeed, the Trumpster is hitting a nerve in the U.S. of A. Donald Trump is quite a character, don't you think? Once many years ago, he was married to one Ivana who lovingly dubbed him The Donald. The Donald. Donald, one of a kind, egocentric, selfish, all about him, endowed with a self-given nobility and entitlement which allowed him to live different and better than most men. Boy, does he ever. But The Donald is, in fact, a serious candidate for the President of the United States. In fact, he leads in the polls. Americans, the real kind, the grassroots kind, like him. They like the man. They like what he says and how he says it. Clearly, that is because Trump is not a politician. Far from it. In fact, he eschews politics, political establishments on both sides, and in fact, the people who are career politicians, those who live for politics in power and do anything they can to get it and retain it. The Donald thinks that our nation's leaders are stupid. His word, stupid. Never mind that most Americans think the same, for the press, the media, especially the liberal kind, jump all over Trump because of his unpredictability and his refusal to play the usual political games. Determined to be his own man, no matter the cost, something which America obviously craves, at least at this point, which of course resulted in the words of Governor Kasich referring to Trump as nerve-hitting among the populace. In fact, many think that Trump, a potential political rabble-rouser, reinvents the old populism, provides it with his personal twist, including his sharp, aggressive, and pungent personality and potentiality, so that a new era begins. Maybe that might be just a good thing for nervous Americans, nervous about the fate, fortunes, and future of this country, craving new leadership. Straight thinkers and politicians, truly honest and consistent, something lacking for years and years in this great country. Trump seems to have that. One of the great appeals of Donald Trump is the fact that he despises all things politically correct. Trump's own words, "I don't frankly have time for total political correctness. To be honest with you, this country doesn't have time for that either." That's on the money, Mr. Trump. The vast majority of Americans are really sick and tired of all things politically correct. Speech is intimidated. Disagreeing opinions disappear. Hot, heavy, and hearty debate is no longer. Say one word the wrong way, and this liberal, controlling, non-objective media jumps all over the speaker, especially a political speaker like Trump. The media thinks Trump is little more than hot air, but apparently, at least for now, Americans think quite differently. Writer Daniel Henninger of the Wall Street Journal thinks of Trump as the Music Man. The great musical of Meredith Willson reveals Harold Hill, the Music Man, to the townspeople of River City, Iowa. Harold Hill has the town buy musical instruments for a boys' band, regaling them with promises, and then, money in hand, he skips town. Henninger thinks of Donald Trump as much like Professor Harold Hill. And he says of him, "Donald Trump must know it's all a fabulous scam." Really? But Henninger never really tells us why. But obviously, that is what he believes, and probably he thinks many others believe the same. Like Harold Hill in The Music Man, says Henninger, Donald Trump believes he can say anything and get away with it. For example, Trump said that Mexico has an inferior culture, and in the same breath claimed that he would win the Hispanic vote in America. Cocky, huh? Trump said very disparaging words about Senator John McCain, a war hero, serving the great state of Arizona in the Senate after having served 5 years in a Vietnam prison. Claiming, Trump did, that McCain, if in fact he was in fact a real war hero, should never have been caught or taken prisoner. Wow. Apparently he got away with that, for his approval ratings just simply grew. Wonder why. Trump attacked Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin because the state's infrastructure, including and especially the roads, are a, quote, disaster, end of quote. The Donald accused Governor Walker of not wanting to spend any money on roads because Walker doesn't want to raise taxes. Interesting indeed that the man who wrote the book, The Art of the Deal, a treatise on how to make money and, of course, pay as little tax as possible, now criticizes a fellow Republican for not raising taxes and apparently gets away with the criticism. He goes back up in the polls. But, you know, that's Donald Trump. Unaccountable, self-contained, self-righteous, with no filter to his mouth, none whatsoever. Donald Trump well taps into American anxieties. The number one concern of the American people for years has been the underachievement of the United States economy. There has been the considerable decline of the middle class and, in fact, real economic opportunity, no matter what the skewed economic numbers, particularly unemployment, indicate. Only one out of four Americans think the country is on the right track. Do you? Four in five adults highly doubt that their children will have a better life than they now do, even though the Great Recession of 2008 technically ended in June 2009. Technically, 6 years ago, two out of three Americans still think that America is in recession. Do you? The labor force participation rate was 62.6% last month, the lowest level in 38 years. 62.6% last month. Underemployment, or those who have given up seeking real work, represent countless additional millions of Americans, facts which only exacerbate the unemployment numbers. Some believe that the celebrity apprentice, the 76 trombones man Donald Trump, has revived an inchoate radical middle class, upset over what the country has become. Trump himself thinks this country, its political morass and leaders, is a disaster, and he asks for turnaround, for reconstruction, for new thinking, for new ideas, and new leaders. And that message resonates with much of America, including, and especially, the angry middle class. No matter, say some, that Trump preaches a shapeless populism, an emotional message without fact or platform, Americans are listening. And millions seem to want what he offers, whatever that is. At least in theory, and possibility, and potentiality. At least in a new hope for America. So then, Trump trumpets the theme, the mantra, make America great again. Make America great again. Good words, right-sounding words, resonating with all who are sick and tired of the Obama change and want very much like Trump to change back to everything which once made America great, with a passionate desire to make it great again. That message resonates because Trump presents himself as the leader of the new anti-GOP, the new anti-Republican Party. Like Obama and his fellow Democrats, Trump thinks Republican leaders are stupid as well. Stupid. The guy pulls no punches, does he? Interesting, the Donald is not conservative at all. Some people may assume he is, but Trump is not conservative. In fact, Trump is on record as stating that he is very much in favor of a single-payer health care system. Huh, boy, Obama's sure glad to hear that. Music from the music man-in-chief to Obama's ears. And that, of course, is the ultimate goal of Obamacare. And Trump marches to that tune. I wonder why. The Donald is also on record for gun control and for severe limitations on the Second Amendment. Gee whiz. Believe it or not, Trump even favors steep taxes, like Warren Buffett, on high earners, without explaining why. And that would be Mr. Trump, would it not? He earns a whole bunch of bucks, and he's in favor of steep taxes on himself? I suppose when one has a net worth of in excess of $10 billion, with a B, billion dollars, taxes of any amount on any kind of income really don't matter. Trump got his, so why should he care about anybody else? Trump thinks that government has the power and should use eminent domain to seize homes or any other kind of private property so as to permit private development. Government should do more, take more, he says. Build up the economy, make it better. And this man, the Donald, is pro-choice. Donald Trump is pro-abortion, and openly so. He has little, if anything, to say about Planned Parenthood and their barbaric sale of baby parts. Haven't heard much of anything from the Trumpster. And Trump has come out strong against the flat tax and really has no ideas or constructive game plan to revamp or change the current tax code. None. No platform. No facts. Just a lot of bravado. And Trump is opposed to free trade. More music to the ears of the unions. He has given money to help elect virtually every politician who can help him or foster his political or financial philosophies, including Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry, and Harry Reid, and Chuck Schumer, in addition, of course, to so-called fellow Republicans. Not a problem, says Mr. Trump, for all of my contributions were business-related, transactional, as he puts it. In fact, when Hillary Clinton ran for president in 2008, Donald Trump donated to her campaign and raved about her White House credentials. Said Trump, she, Hillary Clinton, she is very talented, very smart. Oh, yeah, that she is. I think Trump probably left off the word deceitful as well. So Trump gave to her, he said, because he needed to curry favor with an influential New York senator, which Hillary Clinton was at the time. For as the Donald said, when you give, they do whatever the hell you want them to do. Isn't that something else? When you give, they do whatever the hell you want them to do. And as a businessman, I need that. Interesting man, is he not? Whether or not you agree with him, he lays it out there, straight and to the point, no nonsense. And maybe he gets away with what he says because of the way he says it. Straight, aggressive, and unapologetic. But now, running for the Republican presidential nomination, Trump deems criminal Hillary Clinton's email practice of maintaining a private server at home while she worked at the State Department. Criminal. Wow. Kind of a change of pace there, isn't it? Donald Trump's history of practicing situational politics concerns so very many Republicans. He has indicated he will do everything possible to win the Republican nomination, but if he does not, he has said he will seriously consider running as a third-party candidate in the 2016 elections. And that, of course, would virtually ensure the election of the Democratic nominee. But Trump being Trump, that would not matter to him. Recall Ross Perot in 1992, who ran as an independent against George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton. Each of those candidates reacted to Perot, watched him take the lead in the polls, and then, surprisingly, withdraw from the race, mistakenly believing that he, Perot, had sent a message to America which would forever change American politics. Not. When Perot dropped out, it was political business as usual. And the Perot effect, however positive, was wasted. And the very same would happen to Donald Trump if he ran as a third-party candidate. A disaster for the Republican Party. Trump aggressively criticizes the Republican Party. He thinks of the party as lazy, assumptive, and most especially a party with a loss of principle. Well, I think a lot of people feel the same way. The Republican process, says Trump, is wrenching, disappointing, and frustrating, chock full of Tea Party uprisings, bitter primaries, uninspired presidential candidacies, blown elections, policy setbacks, even government shutdowns. Donald Trump wants to change all that. You know, Trump is really good at selling things and even better at selling himself. He really knows what inspires voters, and he drives home the rallying cry, make America great again. Make America great again. He says that knowing that's what the people want. Businessman that I am, says Trump, I and only I can do that. Really? Whenever Trump changes position, he rolls out the old mantra, I've evolved. Heard that a lot from Barack Hussein Obama through the years, have we not? And others, of course. And while some political and philosophic evolution may be justified, even necessary, abrupt turnarounds for political reasons are not. But the public wants not just ideas, but substance to those ideas as well. like Governor Scott Walker's collective bargaining overhaul, John Kasich's tax reforms in Ohio, and Chris Christie's pension fixes in New Jersey. The public wants substance, tangible ideas, platforms, programs, which Trump has yet to offer. He has yet to offer these things. He dodges and fails to provide specifics, at least for now. While Marco Rubio presents a detailed tax overhaul plan, Bobby Jindal provides America with energy proposals, and Chris Christie outlines entitlement reforms for America, Trump says little but the mantra, "Make America great again." Make America great again. But how? How, Mr. Trump? America likes your bravado, your straight talk, your non-political approach to things, but America needs far more from you if your candidacy remains serious and potentially influential. Far more. Yeah, so many think of Trump as a disaster, like Kimberly Strassel of the Wall Street Journal. Strassel says of Trump and the new conservative Republican movement, he, Trump, isn't a culmination of the new conservative movement. He's its wrecking ball. Remains to be seen indeed whether that is the case. Trump was crucified for his remarks with regard to illegal immigrants coming from Mexico. Illegal aliens, he said, were largely responsible for so much of the increase in crime, including rape, murder, robbery, and the like. Oh, racist, prejudiced, xenophobic, among others, said the liberal media about Trump. But in the states with the largest population of illegal aliens, including New York, California, Texas, Arizona, and Florida, when the numbers were released with respect to total murders, total sex crimes, among others, those crimes were committed in the considerable majority by the illegal alien population. The facts indeed backed up the assertions of Donald Trump. He was right. And that led the publication Accuracy and Media to state Trump was right. Didn't hear anything about that in the media, though, did you? Lupe Moreno, whose 13-year-old nephew Ruben was gunned down by an illegal alien, accused the media of ignoring the problem of illegal alien violence. Said Moreno, "I blame the American press not only for Ruben's death, but for all of those deaths and the deaths every day that occur at the hands of illegal aliens. Our children are dying every day. They are being raped. They are being brutalized," said Moreno, not Trump, backing up what Trump said. But Trump had the audacity to say that, and the media crucified him for it. Haven't heard much about Moreno, though, have you? And yet another, Jamil Shaw Sr., spoke about the murder of his 17-year-old son, a standout football player murdered by an illegal alien. Shaw has appeared on several different programs to talk about the murder of his son and why he is supporting Trump. He also joined Trump at the July 11 rally in Phoenix, Arizona. Trump, unlike the media, brings these brutal facts to the attention of the American people. Whatever you think of Donald Trump, I think that's a pretty good thing, don't you? Fact is fact. And then there was Don Rosenberg, whose 25-year-old son, Drew, was also killed by an illegal alien. Don Rosenberg now offers the blog, How a Liberal Became an Enforcement Advocate. My story. How a Liberal Became an Enforcement Advocate. Rosenberg claimed at the Trump news conference that the media, the newspapers, don't even disclose the immigration status of aliens when they killed people on the streets of America. But Trump does. And perhaps that is why hundreds of thousands of Hispanics, they may very well agree with Mr. Trump, and they may vote for him, as Trump claims they will, because they're not illegal aliens. So Trump remains well ahead of the dopes. There's another one of his neat little phrases, dopes, which he calls them, who are the other Republican presidential candidates. He is a fighter. He's aggressive, and he's tough. He will always say what he thinks, no matter the consequences. He will capitalize now and forevermore on the fact that Americans simply do not trust politicians anymore. Hey, I'm one of them. How about you? That, unfortunately, is largely true. Oh, but not about me, says Mr. Trump. I am not like those dopes, those stupid others. I am independent, and I, he says, I can't be bought. I can't be bought. As one Republican strategist said, one Michael McKenna, we have now become so managed by political consultants that we have a world in which people are incapable of calling a spade a spade. Boy, isn't that the truth? Nobody tells it like it is. Not really. Americans hate that. And they seem not to mind when Trump uses so-called hate speech to tell it like it is. If it is true, factual, then the fact that it may be hateful is secondary, even irrelevant. So you could also say that Trump is first in the polls because he unabashedly champions America. He thinks we are exceptional, even as Barack Hussein Obama does not. He has weaponized his agenda and turned the tables on the left. Americans are sick and tired of being labeled the enemy, especially conservatives who are branded racists, sexists, Islamophobes, homophobes, and bigots, among others. Trump wants Americans to feel good about themselves, and Americans react passionately to Trump's mantra. You know, in that sense, I do too. How about you? Stop, they say. Stop, liberals, the media, the press. Stop, Hollywood and academia. Stop making us the enemy. And then Trump is unapologetic. After Trump's comments about Mexico and illegal aliens, the predictable outrage cycle began as one of his business partners, including the liberal radical NBC, dumped him. You dare not say what you think, even if it's true. But he refused to apologize because, for the most part, he was right. He was right. So many politicians fall over themselves, apologizing if it makes them look good and humble. But not Trump. The Donald is a fighter. He fights back. He has reminded voters that the 2016 election may be the last chance to save the country and turn it back to its old and better ways before it slides under the waves of statism. Millions of Americans think the same way, and frankly, I do. And they resonate with him and are determined, like Trump, to make America great again. Are you? And Trump will be the anti-politician now and forevermore. Trump despises the political class and career politicians and all they are and stand for. Americans hear truth and action from him, and they love it. So Donald Trump continues on his anti-establishment ways, ever growing in the polls, attacking a Republican establishment that even millions of American Republicans are dissatisfied with. Reince Priebus, chairman of the Republican National Committee, the RNC, recently asked Mr. Trump to tone it down. Tone it down. Trump responded at a rally in Phoenix by saying, "Illegal immigrants flow in like water." Doesn't sound like tone down to me. The more Priebus, Rubio, Bush, Perry, and others criticize Trump, the more establishment they appear, and the more support the Donald, the music man, receives. But you know, win, lose, or draw, Trump is a winner. He might. He just might win the Republican nominee for president. If not, Trump can win in Trump fashion by running as an independent, a third-party candidate, the reincarnation of the old Ross Perot. Personally, I think he would love that. Or the Donald can simply go back to his life of being a multi-billionaire, do whatever he wants, live however he wishes, having attained a notoriety the world over, and just watch, as he has stated, watch America go to hell in a handbasket. Can't lose this man, this billionaire, this music man, this reincarnation of the old Harold Hill. Just simply can't lose. But that's why he seems to win, and that's why Americans identify with him. Americans really want a winner. They want to be led by a winner so that winning can once again become part of the American dream, the American opportunity. Americans want that. You can say that in many ways millions of Americans want to be like Donald Trump. Many would. So maybe, just maybe, Trump might win the Republican nomination. He just might. Donald Trump is much more than a music man, much more than a man with a band of 76 trombones. He is a winner. He's a leader. He's aggressive. He's unapologetic. He's straight and to the point. A breath of fresh political air indeed. No matter what he believes or what his platform will be, all of that is true, with a whole lot yet to come. But again, Trump is by no means a conservative, probably anathema to true conservatives, but he is the man of the hour, this hour, the leader, and someone so many feel is so good for American politics at this point in time. Do you think that way? Anything, millions say, anything but the old pros, the old establishment, the political careerists, the power-hungry Hillary Clintons, Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, Nancy Pelosi, John Boehner, anybody but them. That passion for something different, something better, had so much to do with the election of Obama, don't you think? Wouldn't it be ironic indeed if that very same passion for fresh, new, straightforward thinking resulted in the nomination and the election of Donald Trump as the next president of the United States of America? Oh, my Lord. We probably would have to say, God help us. But you know what? It's not altogether impossible. It really isn't. Only in America, and only in America, is there only one Donald Music Man Trump.